The Spectacular Now. For the Misfits, it fell a little short of spectacular, then, now, or later.
My name is Sutter Keeley.
I got everything that I need right here. I've got a job, I've got a car, I've got a beautiful girl.
I was the life of every party.
You gotta live in the moment. It's about this. This is beautiful.
Hey. Hey.
Where the hell am I?
Do you live around here, Sutter?
How do you know my name?
You go to the same school. I'm Amy.
That's what I was gonna say. Nice to meet you, Amy.
What's your story?
I don't really have any stories.
What do you mean? Everyone's got a story.
I don't know. I'd like to think that there's more to a person than just one thing.
You know, I gotta tell you, Sutter, Amy Finicky, this is a strange choice for a rebound.
You're 17 years old. You don't have an ex-boyfriend?
No.
Really?
Sutter, guys don't look
That's
at me
shocking.
Like that. I'm like...
Yeah, absolutely, guys look at you like
no,
that.
No, no, no.
Amy, you're absolutely beautiful.
Oh, my God, no.
And if she falls for you, what happens then?
Should we take our shirts off?
My sister, she's having this, like, fancy dinner party. Would you want to go with me?
Yeah, what time?
It's 10 minutes.
Oh, 10 minutes from now?
Yeah.
I think it's good to have dreams, don't you?
To dreams.
I'll tell you something. I don't live in the past. I live in the now, because that's what it's all about.
You know, everyone's telling me I gotta move on. I don't see what's so great about being an adult. Are you happy?
You're not the joke everyone thinks, man.
I love you.
You don't love me.
Yes, I do.
Kind of thought she'd be the one to... yank you out of neutral.
You not see that I'm bad for you? You need to get away from me.
The Spectacular Now.
Ooh. Ooh.
The most popular boy in school and the most popular girl in school have broken up. And so now the most popular boy hooks up with the shyest girl in school and they have an unusual relationship.
Mm. Alcohol fueled, I'd say.
That involves alcohol, books. We find the most popular boy. What is his name?
Sutter.
So we find Sutter. He's passed out on somebody's lawn. And Amy, who helps her mother out by delivering newspapers in the morning, finds him there. And they kind of hit it off a little bit, which I'd have to say, it's bad enough when he's actually in the cab with her. He's just tossing out papers. And he seems to know psychically where to throw them. But we can assume that maybe between cuts or something,
she's
throw the paper from her. But when he's in the back of the truck, he's just tossing them, it seems, indiscriminately. So a nice scene was sort of spoiled for me.
What else was spoiled for you in this film?
The guy who plays the main character, Sutter, I think in an earlier time could have been played by someone like Richard Dreyfuss, mm-hmm. maybe, or even John Cusack when he was young. I think this film had a lot of problems, but I think his performance is a big part of it also.
Yeah, funny to say John Cusack because that was a guy who came to mind. You know, I was thinking of Say Anything.
Mm-hmm.
Cusack had charm and a little charisma. This guy was monotonous. His line deliveries were exactly the same. He would end it in the exact same note, thinking that this was some kind of, I don't know, Bill Murray-ish kind of cool, but it was just obvious and mechanical.
One note throughout the whole thing.
Well, if you think he was all one note, what about her? Hi, I'm just a dishwag. I felt very betrayed by the character of Amy. You call her a wallflower if you want. I just think she was a big pushover, and that really bothered me. I mean, she was agreeable. Go to your sister's dinner party with 10-minute notice? Okay, I'll go there and be charming. Drink when you drink. You get me a flask for my birthday or whatever. Okay, I'll do that too. There was no resistance at all, except when I guess when she finally goes off to college. I just felt she was just a big pushover, and it really bothered me on a couple of levels.
Okay, no, I thought she was terrific. I thought she was great. Amy, Charlene Woodley, who was in The Descendants, she actually saved the movie for me. It should have been about her, not him, I thought, and then I could have gone with it. This is an old Hollywood mistake, not even a modern one, that she was so much more attractive than the so-called most popular girl. I guess they were trying to make her like into the wallflower, but even in that scene where he wakes up on her lawn, I'm thinking it's going in another direction because you have this really pretty girl in like shorts. Oh, okay, this is like a fantasy come true, but it turns out that no, she's like the wallflower and he's going to bring her out of it, supposedly. I thought the comic book heroine bit was good. The fact that she's delivering papers, I thought that was good. You know, I was in on their relationship every time she came out. I was in on her wanting somebody to kind of like show her a new world, and it's this guy. Again, you know, since we had to spend too much time with this guy, that's what brought it down for me.
Well, technically, I don't think she is a wallflower. She's on the French Club. She has friends. I was wondering, though, how a girl so inexperienced as she apparently was had those condoms at the ready. They were right there in the bedside table, ready to go.
My problem with her character was, and it never made sense, she has friends, but I think she has kind of, the film implies, she's part of a very, very small little clique, and basically she's a bookish girl who keeps to herself, who, outside of her little clique, is socially awkward. The only problem is she has no trouble striking up a conversation with someone passed out on her lawn, inviting him to do the paper out, and then later on when he takes her to a party, she looks completely comfortable. I wish I was that comfortable in these at parties. I mean, she just seemed to fit right in. So again, it's like, the problem I had with the movie mainly was, and we'll get to this later, but the drinking's supposed to be an issue, but for at least 2/3 or more of the film, the drinking is never an issue, period. And she's supposed to be a wallflower, but she's not a wallflower, so her problem is not a problem. So really, these two kids who have no problems get together and hit it off. Okay, movie? Fine, but you seem to want us to go somewhere else with all this.
And by the way, the guy's friend, the leading guy's friend, was good. Kind of a nerdy guy that he's supposedly the cool guy showing the ropes to and how to score.
I liked the guy playing that character, and I tended to enjoy him, but he was another guy with almost as much life experience as the Wallflower Girl, so when he starts handing out all this advice to the cool kid, it never rang true to me.
Well, he was giving advice on how not to hurt a fellow wallflower, basically. So I kind of accepted that.
There's nothing in this film that resonated with me, other than the fact, like, you know, it's sort of like working that Nicholas Sparks territory, except nobody's going to die at the end.
Yeah.
And that almost becomes a problem, because you'd think he'd have alcohol poisoning by now. There just wasn't anything here. And I'm usually a big fan of Kyle Chandler, but I felt like he was terribly out of place here. And just,
he ends up being the son's father.
The son's father, who's just a loser. I unfortunately was disappointed in his performance, and so that didn't bring me around. Nothing brought me around to this except when it was over and I could leave.
Well, you know, one of the things that I kind of went with for a while was the attempt at making a movie like this with just plain ordinary kids, you know. Mm-hmm. There was no real beauty. There was no real jock, no real handsome guy, you know. It was just kids that you see every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of liked that try of theirs, I guess, you know, with casting.
Well, this is going to be a more stripped down kind of realistic take on teens. We're not going to have a bunch of hyped up stuff, and we're going to have fairly reasonable, believable people in the roles. And yeah, again, this started to be a film that was like, well, we're not going to waste a lot of time with parents. Well, we're not going to waste a lot of time with the breakup. Well, we're not going to do a lot of things teen films usually do. Except at some point, like I've complained about before, they don't have a new twist on the material, and they don't have anything new to bring to the material. All they have is this kind of process of elimination until we're left with what? I didn't feel like very much, really. The other thing that really, I'm assuming this was probably more the director than anybody else's, but because the film was trying to be real, it had what I thought were a lot of really forced, and this went for everybody from the Wallflower Girl to Sutter to, even more annoyingly when we finally meet him, Sutter's dad, they had these kind of supposedly awkward pauses or stepping on the other person's words, and just the way they were done, they were never convincing. They always seemed like a planned kind of naturalness, and just the rhythm of the dialogue at some point I just started to find even off-putting.
Well, the main actor couldn't pull any of this stuff off. Interestingly enough, his mom was played by Jennifer Jason Leigh, who I hadn't seen in like 10 years or so in anything, you know?
The boy just turns into this whole, I gotta find my dad, and my mom's been the problem. If I find dad, it'll be okay. And I remember sitting there going, oh my God, it's just another dumb teen film that comes down to father issues. But then I had to catch myself, because that's exactly what The Way Way Back was about. And that was a spectacular film because it had interesting characters. They'd worked it out. You cared about the people. So it's not the fact that it's just another daddy issue movie. It's another daddy issue movie that's, you know, just not very compelling. At one point, after he's gone to see his dad, they're driving back, it's late at night, and she's saying, I want to be there with you, and he says, no, you have to get out of my life, and he's not paying attention to his driving, and they almost get involved in a head-on collision, and the car spins around in the street. And then he says, get out of the car. I mean, he's doing it for her own good, we realize, because he thinks he's just another loser like his dad, and it's only going to cause pain. And then the one shock moment in the movie that works as a shock moment is she gets out of the car, and another car passing in the other lane hits hits her and takes her out of frame. From that moment on, we see a brief shot of her in a hospital, and then we see him talking to her in her bed. And
I think she's dead.
I mean, you'd never know from the movie if she experienced a moment's doubt, a moment's pain, a moment's anything. The movie acts like she does in that she accepts that everything that happens so completely undermine the idea of reality and there being any repercussion of those realities. I can't even pretend to get behind when it starts working itself up to its phony ending at the college, because now suddenly, oh, his drinking's an issue. With who?
But the point is, it becomes a drinking movie. That shows up almost out of the blue, I swear to God. It's like 10, 15 minutes into it. He has a Big Gulp cup at work, which is a clothing store for men. And he's always drinking this Big Gulp. Then we see him put alcohol in it. From then on, it becomes like a Lush movie.
But it doesn't. The reason it doesn't is because nothing ever happens because of his drinking. I don't think people even complain about his breath. Not only that, she gets a hip flask and she's drinking as much as he is. Why not?
I wish it had been an issue.
It becomes this incredibly hyped up phony issue in the last 10 minutes of the movie. And even then it doesn't make any sense because I can't figure out what everybody's so bent out of shape about. He takes out the flask. He's drinking. He never acts stupid because of it. He never slurs his words. There's never any repercussions. As an audience member sitting there, you're going, this guy is knocking it back a lot. I don't think that's good. But that's not the movie or the character's attitude.
In fact, it's such a non-issue that when the guy tells him, you can work here if you don't drink anymore, basically, until he stands up and goes, well, I can't do that. To me, it wasn't an issue before that.
You're going, how do you know he was drinking here? I never saw you in the same room with him.
And like you said, he never slurred. The customers liked him. His boss even tells him, the customers love you. You do a great job.
For me, the last 15 minutes is all about this lazy, calculated effect they want at the end of the movie. So drinking, not an issue. Suddenly, drinking an issue. Why? Because she's gone away. So what we have to do is he has to pull himself together and prove himself so that when he confronts the bookish girl when she's gone off to college, so that when we have the final shot of her, we don't know if she's going to pick him or not pick him. So all that last minute drunk stuff and pull your life together stuff is just there to make that moment work, but doesn't tie in a real way to the characters or the stuff we've seen before that, because all the stuff the movie gets worked up about now, it's only there to set up that final shot. So we go, I wonder if she'll take him back. Has he really changed? I don't think it matters because it was all calculated and phony anyway.
So if we want good coming of age, it's the way, way back. If you want to be bored silly, go to the Spectacular now.
Which, in reality, is not a high school movie I want everybody to know.
They're in high school.
You would know.
No, they're in high school, but it's not a high school movie. I'm not categorizing as that.
I didn't hate it. I found moments of interest, all which involved the leading girl.
This right here, this is beautiful.
This is the youngest that we're ever going to be. This is our time. Live in the now.
Cheers.
Cheers.
To you, Amy Finicky.
To you, Sutter Q.